limits as to what they can do. Magic is not the be-all, end-all. It's not infinite. I know because my own magic is not infinite. Not even when I had my horn. And? I said. You. He said. And I could hear the love and reverence in his voice. But it was covering up an awe that sounded almost like fear. You can do things that I've never seen before. That no one has ever seen before. Sam, look at me. And I did. Because he was my friend. I turned and looked at Gary. At Tiki. And at Ryan. I looked at Ryan and wondered just how afraid for my heart I was. We were so close now. Tarker Mills was visible in the distance. Beyond that on the horizon were the northern mountains. Great peaks that rose high and disappeared into the clouds. Between those peaks lay a keep, with a dragon and a prince. We were so close to what we'd come for. And my heart hurt at the thought of how, while this was just the beginning for Tiggy Gary and me, it was going to be the end of Ryan and me. We'd save the prince and part ways. The next time I'd see him, he would be married to Justin and I would be the same. A wizard's apprentice without a cornerstone. The time apart would dull the sharp edges of the hurt, and with luck, any feelings would have started to fade. Maybe one day I'd be able to look back on this adventure and think to myself that my first heartbreak made me stronger. Made me better. Sam, Gary said, just how powerful are you? Because they never knew. Morgan, Randall, made sure no one did. They were things that couldn't be discussed. This had been one of them. But they'd figure it out, sooner rather than later. Especially once we got to Castle Frecius. So I said the only thing I could. I don't think anyone really knows. Come on. We're almost to the end. Chapter 19. Things are about to get corny. My self-reflection and obviously extraordinarily valid man pain and angst came to a crashing halt only 15 minutes later. So much corn, I breathed. Oh no, Gary said. Sam? Because there was. It was still very early in the season, but fields upon fields stretched with tiny corn stalks, and all I could picture in my head was months down the road when they'd be taller than I was, and how everyone was going to need Sam of Wild's amazing fireworks corn, because how else would they know when the corn was ready? Sure, these people had probably been growing corn for hundreds of years, but they didn't know what I knew, and there was no person in existence that didn't like fireworks. Which was why my idea was so brilliant to begin with. Fuck Morgan and his insistence that it would never work. In fact, Morgan, I bellowed when he answered the summoning crystal. You magnificent bastard. The corn! The corn!
No,
Morgan said.
No, Sam, no.
You don't understand. There's acres of it. It goes on as far as I can see. And I can see very far.
Sam.
Morgan, listen. I'm giving you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here. You can be part of all of this. I waved the crystal around to show him. He sighed.
Sam, you realize I can't actually see anything, right?
You have a very vivid imagination.
Do I?
He said, dry as I'd ever heard him. Business partners, I said, not willing to be deterred. Sure, it'll take some time to build up the capital, and I'll probably need you to invest in the startup. Maybe half. Okay, I lied. All of it. I'm pretty sure I don't have any money. Well, I do, but you keep it in the banks and won't let me touch it.
Because you want to make firework corn.
To be fair, Gary said. There is a lot of corn, and when it burns down the fields, it'll probably go quickly. I don't think anyone will suffer when they burn too much. I will leave you in the dark woods, I hissed at him.
Sam, there will be no firework corn, Morgan said. I think it might be time that you let that one go.
I glared at the crystal in my hands. You know, Morgan, when you took me to the castle the first time, I wish you told me that your main job was to crush dreams.
Because you would have done what exactly?
Given you more hugs because your soul is obviously black and withered.
Crisis averted, he said.
And with that, I was filled with such an ache. It had been weeks since I'd seen Morgan. He was my mentor. But more than that, he was my friend. Our magic was entwined, and not for the first time, I wondered if he could be my cornerstone. I never asked him if wizards could do that for each other. He calmed me, but it didn't necessarily settle my magic. But maybe I hadn't tried hard enough. Deep down, I knew, though. Deep down, I thought it might only be Ryan. Even if Morgan had told me that there could be others, in my secret heart, in the place that wished to the stars, there was only Ryan. Uh-oh, Gary said.
What?
Morgan asked. Sam is having an overabundance of feelings.
I get hugs,
Tiggy said.
Sam has feelings. Tiggy gets hugs.
What brought this on?
Morgan sighed. I miss your face, I told the crystal. I love you, and you are my friend, and I don't think I tell you enough that we should be friends forever. Because we should. 500 years from now, we should still be talking about firework corn. I will never leave you. Ever.
Does he do this often?
Ryan whispered to Gary. Only when Morgan pretends that he doesn't love Sam, even though it's obvious he thinks Sam is the greatest thing in the world. Gary whispered back. My eyes were wide.
You think I'm the greatest thing in the world? I said into the crystal.
Notice how that was Gary saying that, Morgan said. Not me.
I wish I was a bard so I could write a song for you,
I said, ignoring him completely. It wouldn't be like Cheesy Dicks and Candlesticks. Morgan coughed loudly.
I don't even want to know.
I don't think most of us do know, Ryan said. Or at least, I don't. Is it normal to be in a constant state of what the fuck with these three? I feel like that's normal.
Yes, Morgan said. Every day. All the time. Some days you even think you're getting used to it, only to realize you're not.
Don't say fuck, I growled at Ryan. Remember your place. He rolled his eyes, and I did not find that attractive. At all. Sorry, he said. I meant to say mother cracker. Morgan!
Sam?
You are so cool! You are so awesome! I sang. You give me feelings that make my heart blossom! They all stared at me. I'm pretty sure Morgan did too, even if he couldn't see me. What? I asked. It was good. Good being the operative word. Gary muttered.
Hugs?
Tiggy asked.
I not have hugs yet.
You shouldn't sing, Ryan said hastily.
It burns.
Morgan liked it, I said. Didn't you, Morgan?
This is certainly something you would say,
Morgan said. Guess what it was called?
Do I have to?
No, because I'll just tell you,
Sam.
It was called Dear Brother Uncle Father, an ode to the fiery depths of my feeling for your personage.
You capitalized that, didn't you?
You bet your sweet ass I did, I said. Now is official.
Sam.
Morgan.
No corn. Get to Talker Mills. Find the keep. Rescue the prince. Go to Randall. Are these instructions in any way unclear?
You know that song I just sang for you? I asked him. I take it back.
I weep,
Morgan said.
A word in private, if I may.
I looked up at the others. Shoo! Secret wizarding business. Says the apprentice. Gary coughed. What? Nothing, he said sweetly. Ryan, Tiggy, away with us. While we wait, I can regale you with the time that Sam was running from a mermaid and somehow ended up naked in a tree.
You promised!
I snapped at him. I lied, he said, as he ushered Ryan and Tiggy away. So it all started with this mermaid named Abigail, who decided she wanted Sam to eat her flounder, if you know what I mean. When they were out of earshot, Morgan said,
Mermaid, Sam, do I even want to know?
No, definitely not. It was this whole thing that turned into an ordeal, and did you know getting splinters in your ass is not a fun way to spend a Tuesday?
I can't say that I do, especially on Tuesdays.
So what's up, mentor mine? Everyone is gone now. You can tell me you miss me without embarrassment.
You have enough embarrassment for the both of us,
he said. Yeah, yeah, I hear the words you aren't saying. I love you too. No one believes me that you're secretly a big ball of sap.
Lies,
he said.
All of it.
Uh-huh.
Sam.
Morgan.
Crap,
he said.
Now I am going to sound like a big ball of sap.
I grinned. Go ahead. I won't tell everyone the moment we get done speaking. That would just be rude.
How's the situation with Ryan?
And of course, my smile faded. Right for the heart. Good aim.
I find it's easier than dancing around words.
I glanced down the road to make sure the others were far enough away. Ryan's head was rocked back, his mouth open as he laughed, undoubtedly at Gary's story about my naked tree mermaid adventure. It was a good look on him. Who was I kidding? All looks were good on him. So I lied. It's fine, I'm handling it. But of course, it was Morgan I was talking to.
Sam.
We danced, I said suddenly. In a tavern when the song was slow. He asked me to dance and I said yes.
Why?
Because I could. Because I wanted to. Because I wanted to know what it was like to have something that I'll never actually have.
I wish,
he said, and then stopped. He took a breath and let it out slowly. I could picture him, sitting in the labs, his face scrunched up in concentration, his forehead lined, eyes narrowed. The tip of his tongue sticking out between his teeth like he did when deep in thought.
I wish things could be different for you.
I laughed. It wasn't nearly as bitter as I thought it'd be. I know. And that's why I love you.
You're almost done.
Am I?
With this part, yes. It's all about the journey, Sam. One day you'll get your ending, but until then, remember, it's about the journey. The things you've learned. The future you'll have. I know it may not seem like it right now, and I know it might hurt. But you will be okay. You're my apprentice. I expect nothing less of you.
I wish you were here. I admitted to him. It might get tough.
I wish I was, too,
he said.
But I also know you're stronger than anyone else I've ever met.
And who knows what we might have said then? How long we might have sat there, spewing our feelings at each other until we were drowning in sunshine and rainbows and Gary's cookie poop. When I have an abundance of feelings, I tend to go on for days. It's a proven fact. And I tried to work up the courage to tell him about the lightning, about how I've been able to redirect it through my body and hold it around my heart. How the ceiling to my magic just seemed further and further away. And maybe for the first time, I felt an inkling of fear that there was no ceiling. That it could eventually consume me until I was nothing but a collection of energy with no conduit for release. I opened my mouth to say something. Anything. But it was ceremoniously cut short when I saw a stranger talking to Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan. My hand tensed around the crystal as green and gold flickered around the edges of my vision. Tiggy and Ryan looked relaxed, carefree. Gary looked slightly off. He was holding himself stiffly. Hey, I said to Morgan. Gotta go. There's someone on the road.
Okay. Just watch yourself. I don't know much about Tarker Mills, And I don't need you getting captured by darks or fairies or mermaids or...
I get it, I said, cutting him off. And it doesn't happen that often.
Or selkies. Or pissed off traveling merchants. Or that one guy who pledged a blood vendetta against you.
That was not my fault. It was in my early days of learning to use magic, and I had accidentally set a guy's hair on fire. I put it out before I had caused any damage, but Evil Carl, as he had so named himself, didn't care. It was an affront to him, and he swore vengeance against me and promised one day I would rue the day I ever heard the name Evil Carl. Naturally, unable to keep my mouth shut, I told him I was already ruing. That's when the blood vendetta came into play, blah, 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 and I never heard from him again. I rarely thought about it. It was just one of those things that happened to me. I get into shenanigans, I told Morgan.
So I've noticed. We still need to finish our conversation.
I couldn't tell if that was a warning or a threat.
But it can wait. Find the keep and let me know what you see before you approach. Understood?
Yeah, love you too, Boo, I said, and broke the connection before he could squawk righteously at me as he was wont to do. I stowed the crystal in an inner pocket in my tunic and walked down the old road toward Tarker Mills. Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan looked back at me upon my approach. And this is Sam of Wilds, Gary said. His voice was even, but he still held himself stiffly. The apprentice to the king's wizard. The stranger was an older woman. She wore a long, flowing dress, green and orange and red. Her hair was gray and braided in a thick ponytail that rested over her shoulder and against her breast. There was a sash of sorts across her chest. No weapons that I could see. She looked sweet and kind, like a grandmother should. Tiggy and Ryan seemed charmed by her. Gary was not.
It is an honor to meet you, wizard, she said,
ignoring the apprentice that Gary muttered under his breath. Her voice was calm and serene. I felt myself relaxing just by the few words she spoke.
I am Eloise, the mayor of Tarker Mills. I understand you have traveled far.
She held out her hand, and I took it briefly. Her skin was warm and smooth. She dropped my hand a moment later. Ma'am, I said politely, you've got a lot of corn.
That we do, she sounded amused. We're the main supplier to the northern region of Varenya. The mountains aren't conducive to such a crop. Tarker Mills has fed many people over the centuries. We're quite proud of what we do here.
I was closer to her now. I could see the lines around her eyes and mouth, the pattern on her dress, the intricate design on the sash across her chest, angles and planes that curved into purposed design. Near the top of the sash, at her shoulder, was the pattern of a dragon stitched in great detail. Black, with mottled wings. Huh. How about that? I averted my eyes quickly. But she was sly, that Eloise. She said,
word has spread about your quest.
Has it? People tend to talk too much. She smiled.
They do. But it is an epic undertaking, is it not? To rescue a stolen prince?
She glanced over at Ryan.
My condolences for your loss.
I haven't lost anything, he said. Just temporarily misplaced. We'll get him back soon enough.
Will you?
She asked, and I knew now why Gary was uneasy.
That's good to hear.
She looked back at me. Her eyes were big and blue.
I was telling your companions how honored we were to have you come to our little village. We don't often get visitors of your caliber all the way out here. You must let us house you for the night before you continue on down the road.
Sounds good, I said before anyone else could speak. It will be nice to have a warm bed for a change. She nodded, but for her eyes flicked over my shoulder. I looked back and saw black smoke rising above the tree line.
Fucking fire geckos.
And redirected lightning that I had no idea how I did.
Aside from the fact that I somehow willed it to, I said, yeah, about that. Fire geckos, man. Just a bunch of fire geckos. Nothing else. Yes, she said, all calm and level and so fucking tranquil. We do have a bit of a problem with them out here. Nasty creatures, those. I'll have some people from the village watch the fire to make sure it doesn't jump the road. It's the absolute worst thing to have any sort of flame near the corn. Why, only a madman would think otherwise.
Ha!
Tiggy said.
Firework corn! Poor Sam! Ideas all broken and sad!
I glared at him. Eloise turned back toward Tarker Mills, and Ryan and Tiggy followed. Gary and I purposely fell behind. She's weird, right? He whispered to me. Gave me the heebie-jeebies. Maybe it's just she seems so nice, I whispered back. We don't know many nice people. We don't know any nice people. I'm nice. You're bitchy. Close enough. Look, just keep your eyes open, okay? No separating. Keep any questions and answers as vague as possible. Don't let anyone approach you from behind without you knowing it. You should let Ryan approach you from behind.
Gary, now is not the time.
He snorted. It came out periwinkle and mint. It's always the time for you getting sexed up the butt.
I'm going to feed you to Eloise because I bet you they turn out to be cannibals.
No, there'll be witches in disguise that need your fingernails for a potion.
Fuck.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Tarker Mills was a small hamlet set against the backdrop of the northern mountains miles in distance. The buildings and houses were built of wood and mud and brick. There were men and women in the fields working with the corn. People smiled at us as we entered the village, waving and saying hello and making us feel more welcome than any other place we'd been before. It was all bullshit. No one could ever be that nice. It was eerie and off-putting. Vaguely, I wondered if maybe I was just too cynical, but I pushed that away because, no, I had a healthy amount of cynicism, and Tarker Mills was creepy. So I gave them my own creepy smile back, wide and welcoming. And they smiled wider. I almost expected them to burst into song, to sing about how wonderful the world was and how perfect people were, and love and rainbows and butterflies and puppies, and of course cheesy dicks and candlesticks. They didn't, but I'm sure it was close. A feast, they said. A feast for the travelers. Eloise smiled and decreed it so. As we were paraded around Tarker Mills, long wooden tables were brought out to the center of town, covered in blue and green tablecloths. We were handed mugs of mead and wine and ushered toward the tables. Great plates of food were brought out. Cornbread, corn tortillas, corn soup, corn on the cob, corn casseroles, cream corn, corn salad. You guys really like your corn, Ryan said.
Oh, Knight Commander, a man laughed. You're just being corny.
Everyone laughed except for us, because it wasn't funny. It was terrifying. Sex puns I could understand. Corn puns were beyond my realm of comprehension. I smiled weakly and ate more corn. Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan followed suit. There were about 50 people altogether in Tarker Mills. There didn't seem to be any children, which I thought was odd. Everyone appeared to be my age or older, and from what I could see, Eloise was the oldest person in the village. What brings you this far north? Eloise asked from her spot at the head of the table. I looked up and found all eyes on me. I put down my fork slowly and rested my hands on the table. Our quest, I said slowly, because she'd been the one to bring it up first, and now she was acting like she didn't know. Eloise arched an eyebrow. Oh, how exciting. I smiled at her. Very. That's an interesting sash you're wearing. She reached up and touched it briefly. Thank you. It was handmade here in Tarker Mills.
A clue.
The detail is very detailed, I said. Then I tried to hold back the wince because, holy fuck, that was not subtle. Gary groaned, but he was too far away for me to try and kick him. It's all about the details, don't you think? Eloise asked. Usually, I agreed. Details are important. What is important to you, Sam? I'm not sure I understand your question,
You don't? I thought it very simple. Then why don't you go first?
Unity,
she said promptly.
Being united under a common purpose.
Corn? I asked. She grinned.
Mostly.
There are rumors, I said.
Aren't there always?
Of a keep.
A keep? How fascinating.
I haven't even gotten to the most fascinating part yet, I said.
Do continue,
she said, leaning forward, elbows on the table. The rest of the town had stopped eating and listened intently. It's supposed to be right near here, I said, in a valley near the mountains. We think the prince is being held there. I tilted my head forward and whispered loudly,
by a dragon.
The people of Tarker Mills breathed as one. Girl, preach it, Gary muttered through a mouthful of cornmeal.
Pretty Gary,
Tiggy said, running a hand over Gary's mane.
My face feel funny.
He laughed loudly and I couldn't help but chuckle. I reached down and picked up the fork, scooping up more corn something and taking a huge bite. I was feeling a lot better about being here. I didn't know what I was so worried about. I gave Ryan what I hoped was a saucy wink, and he grinned at me, bright and beautiful. And I opened my mouth to tell him as much when...
A dragon, you say?
Eloise asked.
That sounds frightening. Are you frightened, Sam?
No, I said immediately. Not about that.
Oh? What frightens you, then?
I opened my mouth to tell her that I didn't think this was the right time to discuss my fears, especially surrounded by strangers. But instead I said, snakes, failure, not being able to live up to my potential, letting my parents down, letting Morgan down, not being able to find Gary's horn, not rescuing the prince in time and having to face the king, Randall telling me that there's nothing he can do to help me, the extent of my magic, Ryan figuring out that he's my... Holy God, why am I still talking?
Because we're all friends here,
Eloise said.
Don't you want to be our friend?
No, because I think you in this town are creepy. I'm highly suspicious of you because I think you're hiding something. I frowned. And I didn't mean to say that out loud. She frowned at me.
That wasn't very nice.
I feel floaty,
Tiggy said, corn still stuck to his chin.
Floaty, Tiggy, say goodbye.
I would float away with you, Gary told him. You, me, and Sam can float away, and maybe Ryan, because I think I might actually be starting to like him. But don't tell Ryan I said that, okay?
You like me,
Ryan asked, smiling bigger.
For sure now?
Tiggy, Gary hissed. I told you not to tell him.
Gary likes me,
Ryan told me.
And that's good, because I think I adore him. Whenever I see him, I want to smile.
I ground my teeth together as hard as I possibly could to keep from opening my mouth, but there was this compulsion I couldn't fight. So I blurted out, I like you too! I like you more than Gary. There's no contest. My like for you is legendary. That's true, Gary said, eyes glazed just a tad. I don't think there's anyone that likes you more than Sam. After all, you're his corner. It's the truth! I said, trying to fight against the weight of my tongue, the need within to spill everything. I shook my head and squeezed my hand into fists. I glared up at Eloise. What did you do to us?
Coercion,
she said, the smile still on her face.
Truth. Mistletoe mixed with elven berries and fire from the geckos, and the tongues from a chimera mixed into the corn. We only speak the truth here in Tarker Mills. We have no place for lies and deceit, Sam of Wilds. While you're here, you'll only speak in truth, and your magic won't be able to touch us.
The people of Tarker Mills nodded in agreement. You all take this? I asked.
Yes,
a man across from me said.
Every day. Eloise allows us to eat the truth, so we may speak it at all times.
And let me guess, I said. Eloise doesn't have to eat the truth herself.
She doesn't have to, a woman said. She is the truth.
I looked back at Eloise.
What are you?
What are you?
She asked. A wizard's apprentice, I said promptly, and against my will. Though I don't know if I'll ever become a full-fledged wizard, I don't know if I have the strength. Shut up, shut up, shut up. And why is that? It was no use. Because of what I am, who I'm supposed to be. It poured out from me, and try as I might, I could do nothing to stop it. I tried to call on my magic, but it seemed to be so far away that it was inconsequential. And that is? The most powerful wizard in an age, I said, putting as much force behind my words as I could. It was rewarding to see Eloise's eyes widen slightly. I can do things that others can only dream about. Ryan said.
That shit is so hot.
Everyone turned to stare at him. He was bright red.
I said that out loud, didn't I? Damn it.
What? I squeaked.
When you do magic, it turns me on,
Ryan said, shaking his head frantically.
Oh, gods. I can't... Stop. Just stop. I get erections when you cast spells. Oh, shit.
Sweet molasses, I managed to say. This is not what I thought was going to happen today, Gary said.
What you think happened?
Tiggy asked. I thought Ryan and Sam would continue to ignore how much they want to bone each other, and we would all be suffering in silence because Sam won't pull his head out of his ass to see that Ryan wants to eat said ass for dinner.
I do,
Ryan said through gritted teeth.
For breakfast, even. And lunch. And a midnight snack. Especially when you do magic.
You have a magic kink? I said, because that was the only thing I could focus on.
Yes, but only for you. Your magic gets me hard,
he said, looking like he wished he could be anywhere but where he was.
When you do anything, I get hard. Really. Even your ridiculous sex puns. You remember when you wrapped those dark wizards in stone at the restaurant?
Yeah, I managed to say.
I wanted to tell you that you gave me an eruption.
He bent over and banged his forehead against the table.
Why did I say that out loud? Please, someone, anyone, kill me.
Sex puns, I breathed. Night, delicious face, said a sex pun.
There it is again, he exclaimed. Night, delicious face, what is that?
You're a knight, I said, and your face is delicious.
You think I'm delicious?
He said, suddenly shy. Oh my gods, Gary moaned. This is so awkward, I can't even stand it. I'm physically hurt from how awkward this is. I don't even care that we're apparently in mortal danger. I just don't want to listen to you two flirt anymore. Eloise? Yoo-hoo, Eloise? If you're going to kill us, can you please do it now? I can't take this anymore. Tiggy was poking his face and giggling.
I love everyone, he said. Except people who hurt Gary and Sam. I smashed those people.
Everyone at the tables was staring at us, but I couldn't care less because Ryan fucking Foxheart got boners because of me. Just play it cool, Sam. You're under a truth spell, but you got this. Just play it cool. So, I opened my mouth and played it cool. I jerked off to the thought of you the day I first saw you, I said, cringing immediately. Not cool. Not cool.
You were 15,
he said, sounding scandalized. Why did you... I can't even... I jerked off to the thought of you the day after that. I was 15, I said, eyes wide.
I know, he said. I felt guilty for 3 days and then I did it again.
Your mouth. What's wrong with my mouth?
Nothing,
Ryan said. Except for the fact that it doesn't have my dick in it. And holy fuck, this needs to stop. He looked horrified. I was too. Except I also had a boner. Horrified boners are horrifying.
as was the fact that all I could think about was telling him that he was my cornerstone. Cornerstone, 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 corner... I'm Mervin, I managed to say instead. It came out strangled, like I was choking.
How much of this mixture did you give them?
Eloise asked with a frown. The man across from me said,
Too much. I thought since they were magical, they'd need more. I gave them 3 times the normal dose.
He looked over at me with a contrite look on his face.
I'm so sorry.
I don't forgive you, I told him. Like, at all. There's no forgiveness between you and me. In fact, I'm so far from forgiveness that it's a foreign concept to me, and I shall never understand it with you. You dick. The man pouted. Good. That made me feel good.
This is going to get worse before it gets better,
Eloise said with a sigh. Mervin? Gary asked.
Mervin,
Tiggy said.
No, Mervin. You're Sam.
Mervin,
Ryan said, furrowing his brow. Then he figured it out.
What?
Don't say it. Don't say it. I go to the Ryan Fox Art Fan Club meetings dressed up as a guy named Mervin because I secretly pine for you and your biceps. Also, my muffins were not dry, and anyone that says otherwise is a lying bastard. I glared at the people of Tarker Mills, daring them to say anything about my muffins.
I knew it, Gary whispered. I fucking knew you were sort of creepy in a sweetly romantic way and did things that most people would consider ridiculous. You went in disguise to a fan club for Ryan? Who does that?
Lovely Sam is creepy Sam,
Tiggy agreed. I'm also a foxy lady, I told everyone, even though I wanted to do anything but. And then Ryan gave me his autograph thinking I was Mervin, and he said I was a Sam girl, and I went home that night and put it under my pillow. And I've been to at least 30 meetings, and I wish I wasn't saying any of this out loud. So bad. I tried to close my mouth, but I couldn't help but add, Have heart forever!
I think this is getting out of hand, Eloise said. Why don't we...
I knew that was you, Ryan said. Okay, well, I didn't, but I did.
That doesn't even make sense, I told him. But that's okay. You don't need to make sense because I'm still...
No. I looked back at Eloise. You don't get to have that. You don't get to take that from me.
I tried to pull my magic toward me, and on the edges of my vision, the green and gold fluttered. I stood, pushing my chair back. Sit down, Eloise said. I opened my mouth to tell her to fuck off and then torch this whole fucking village, but instead I sat down.
No magic,
she said. The green and gold flitted away as if they were never there at all. I seriously despise you, I said truthfully. She didn't give a damn.
The scorch marks, she said. Near the tree, the fire geckos lit.
Lightning from dark wizards, I said. I took their magic and made it my own. I thought that would instill the fear of the gods in her, but it only made her cheeks flush and her breath short.
He will be so pleased, she murmured. What we have brought to him.
Who?
Our great father,
she said, and the people of Tarker Mills bowed their heads in supplication. The great... I trailed off, my gaze dropping to the sash, particularly the beast etched near the top. It all clicked into place. The dragon. You worship the dragon?
He descended from on high,
she said as Tarker Mills quietly agreed with her.
He came to us, and we knew we'd found our salvation.
I shook my head. That doesn't make sense. The dragon hasn't been in Varenya that long. How long have you known about it?
57 glorious days,
Eloise said. 57 days, I repeated.
Yes.
You turned your entire town into a cult in 57 days?
Not a cult, she snapped. A religion.
57 days, I said. You built an entire religion in less than 2 months?
You sound impressed.
I am impressed, I admitted. You must be a special kind of crazy if you can create that kind of idolatry in such a short amount of time. She stood swiftly.
I'm not crazy. Kind of crazy, Gary said.
A lot crazy,
Tiggy said. Crazy and you force-fed your neighbors a compulsion mix, I said. Come on, let me use my magic. You're a lady, and you look like a grandma, but I still want to hit you right now.
Do some magic, Ryan whispered to me, right in my ear.
Slowly, so I can watch.
When we get out of here, I'm going to do so much magic all over you, I told him. You're going to be covered in it. At that moment, I really wished I'd been born mute and had never set eyes on Ryan Foxhart. Make it stop, Gary wailed.
Yeah, cover me in your magic.
Ryan was blushing so hard, I thought his face was about to explode.
I want to stop talking. You have no idea how much I want to stop talking.
He leaned closer, and I could feel his breath on my face. It smelled of corn and eroticism. Eloise said.
Maybe you guys could.
We ignored her completely. I'm going to do so many spells, I said, because it seemed impossible for me to stop. You won't even believe how many spells I can do. Flora Boris Slam, motherfucker. Our lips were inches apart.
I want you to Flora Boris Slam me,
Ryan said, and I just choked. Therapy, Gary said. I'm going to need so much therapy. It's like watching cows mating, and it's wet and sticky and uncomfortable, but I can't look away because I'm worried some of it is going to get on me.
We're not cows, I growled at him.
I'm not very good at metaphors, Gary said. I try to be, but I'm not. It's something I wish I could be better at. I would also like to learn how to tap dance and make macrame art because I think I'm not worldly enough. You think macrame is worldly? Apropos of nothing, Tiggy said,
I love chicken and turtles and the sky and shoes.
Gary narrowed his eyes at me. Yes, Sam. I'm sorry if it's not up to your standards of wanting to cover Ryan with your magic.
That sounds so awesome.
Ryan breathed, and I was going to kiss him. I was going to fucking kiss him, and... Except you have a fiancé, Gary said, and that pretty much brought about the end of any thoughts about kissing I might have had. Ouch. I pulled my head away. You love Justin, I said as my heart clenched. You love him and want to marry him and have his babies and live in a castle and suck on his dick in the moonlight as he calls you things like baby cakes and lover bone.
Love bone?
Eloise mouthed to herself. He shook his head adamantly.
No, Sam, listen. It's not like that. It's
enough, Eloise snarled.
No more talking.
We both fell silent. We had no other choice. Ryan looked stricken. Like all he wanted to do was talk more, to finish his sentence. But the compulsion we were under was powerful, and we could only do what Eloise told us.
Now, she said, where were we? Ah, yes, the offering.
And I just knew she was about to start monologuing, but I could do nothing to stop it. If looks could kill, though, her head would have been severed from her body the moment she opened her mouth. But apparently Eloise wasn't in the mood to monologue and instead got right down to business.
The Great Father will be here soon enough. We mustn't keep him waiting. Michael, Frank, would you be so kind as to escort the apprentice to the altar? He has a date with a god.
Two very large men stood up from farther down the table and started stalking toward me. I tried to do something, anything, to stop them, but whatever mixture they'd overdosed us on was stronger. Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan were fighting against it too, and as the men grabbed me by the arms, my eyes met Ryan's. Sweat tricked down his brow as he tried to move. There was fear in his eyes, but it wasn't for himself. It was for me, and I wondered, for just a moment, what things could have been like now that we were forced to be open to each other. I wondered what would have happened. Then I was struck upside the back of my head, and all I knew was dark. Chapter 20. The Sexually Aggressive Dragon.
When I came to, I was aware of three things. First, I had a bitch of a headache. Second, I hated Korn and Tarker Mills with a passion. Third, Ryan Foxhart wanted to sex me up. I opened my eyes and became aware of two more things. I was tied to a post in the middle of a valley, on a stone altar with heavy chains wrapped around my chest, arms pinned to my sides. And I was alone. Motherfucker, I muttered. Maybe I did get captured too much. I still felt sluggish and heavy, the compulsion elixir still running through me, which was just peachy. I hadn't been out that long, though. The sun was still high in the sky. There were fat white clouds above and bright green grass below. A soft breeze blew through my hair. It smelled sweet. It would have been relaxing had I not been chained to a sacrificial altar and the fact that I did not smell sweet. Apparently, at some point during my unconsciousness, I'd been sprayed with what tasted like some kind of meat juice. What I hoped was some kind of meat juice and not the pheromones taken from the anal glands of a yak. That I'm sure was supposed to make me more appetizing to any large predators that wanted to eat me. I wondered just how many people Eloise had done this to, or what they were going to do to Gary and Tiggy and Ryan. I turned my head as far as I could, trying to look behind me. I couldn't see much as the post was very wide. Just the valley stretched out far. The altar itself looked brand new, the stone smooth and shining in the sun. And I remember that technically, there had only been a cult to use such an altar for 57 days. And I gave serious thought to Ryan's comment that I really did seem to be the common denominator to Verenia's what-the-fuckery. But then I remembered one time that Morgan had accidentally become an amnesiac bearded lady in a carnival for 6 months and decided it was more of a wizard thing than a Sam thing. I felt better after that. For a couple of minutes, at least. Then I was just bored. I'd really like to not be chained in the middle of a field. I told no one in particular. 10 minutes later. Cheesy dicks and candlesticks and everything you need. Listen as I sing a verse or six here in this land of sloth and greed. 10 minutes after that. Ryan wants to do me. Sweet. 5 minutes after that. Oh my gods, he wants to do me. What the fuck am I going to do? He's engaged to the prince. Everyone is going to find out, and I'll be a homewrecker, and I'll be arrested and thrown into dungeons and poop in buckets, and I won't ever see the light of day again. All because I couldn't control my feelings and my erection, and I... 34 minutes after that. And what if he gets married and tries to make me his thing on the side? I won't be a goddamn dirty secret. I'm a fucking wizard, and I won't be a strumpet, a warm hole for him to dive into when the frigid prince doesn't feel like getting it up. Fuck you, Ryan Foxhart. Fuck you and everything about you. I don't need this. I was perfectly fine. 26 minutes after that. And you can sure as shit bet that if he makes me dress up in a garter belt, I'm going to make him wear one too. I'm not going to let his kinks rule over mine. I want to fuck him while he wears nothing but a... Oh, that's better. Because all of a sudden that heavy, sodden feeling lifted, as if it had never been there at all. I could think clearly. My magic crawled along my skin. I still felt the little tickle at the back of my throat and neck that said, obey, obey. Obey. But it was starting to fade. It wouldn't last that much longer. And now I was just cranky and pissed off. The chains didn't appear magic to bind me in place. There were some half-hearted runes carved into the altar, but they weren't complete and were done with a novice hand. Suddenly, the missing people from around Old Clearing made much more sense. They had to have been taken by Eloise's cult and placed here as a sacrifice to the dragon. What a bitch! My hands twitched at my sides as I pushed the green and gold through the metal around my chest and arms. I didn't even try to speak any ancient earth words. I didn't have to. The chains collapsed around me. I stretched and popped my neck, flexed my hands. You fucked with the wrong wizard, I growled, feeling smugged with how badass that sounded. I felt less smug when I took a step, tripped over my feet, and fell off the altar and belly flopped into the ground.
Not okay,
I wheezed, trying to get more air in my lungs as I rolled on my side and curled up into a ball.
I am not okay. Everything hurts. Oh, everything hurts so bad. Just gonna stay here for a while and die.
No need to worry about... A loud roar
echoed across the valley.
"Well, fuck me sideways," I said succinctly and looked north. Sitting on the rim, looking down into the valley, was a familiar black dragon. It had only been a few weeks since I'd seen it last, but I was absolutely positive it had gotten bigger. And angrier. And maybe it had more teeth with which to eat me. As I watched, it pushed out its wings, the span of them great and awe-inspiring. Well, it would have been awe-inspiring had I not been the subject of its rapt attention. Now, it was just terrifying. And all the bravado I'd built up when the chains fell from me fled rather quickly. My eyes bulged when it brought down its wings in a harsh push, the grass around its feet flailing in the forest wind. The wings went up, and then down again, and the dragon lifted up and off the ground. And I will admit, though it pains me to do so, that instead of having an awesome one-liner that people would quote for decades to come, "You think you can handle me?" or "Fine, come at me, bro," I squeaked, "Holy fucking balls of shit," and tried to stand. Of course, I tripped again and hit my head against the stone altar and wondered where all those really bright flashing lights had come from. The ground shook around me as I opened my eyes. The dragon's massive head peered down at me. Its nostrils flared as it scented what I was now positive was yak anal gland pheromones, because that's just how things went for me. Its tongue extended, a great fork thing that rubbed against my face, leaving a thick, sticky trail in its wake. "I'll admit," I said, "this is not one of the top 10 experiences of my life."
"Wizard,"
the dragon rumbled.
"I despise wizards."
"Yes, yes," I said. "You don't like wizards because of my sparkles and my whiz bangs." The dragon reared its head back.
"You can understand me,"
he said, voice rough and deep. I rolled my eyes. "Clearly." He shot forward again, snapping his jaws near my face. His breath was hot and wet. Somehow I managed to keep the squeaking to a minimum.
"You're a pretty thing,"
he growled.
"But I won't hesitate to eat you up. Little tasty boy cake you'd be. I'd let you rest in my tongue before I swallowed you whole."
"That doesn't sound like fun for anyone," I managed to say. "I'm all skin and bones. No meat. It'd be a waste of your time, honestly."
"How is it you can understand me?"
the dragon asked, scraping a giant claw near my side. The grass tore up from the earth, leaving a long dirt gash.
"Your kind has never been able to do so before. Tell me, pretty. Tell me before I grow tired of you and start bathing your feet."
"I don't know," I said, and that must have been the wrong answer because his teeth scraped against my dusty boots. "No one knows. I'm just an apprentice."
"Apprentice?"
the dragon scoffed.
"Weak little human."
"Stopped your fire, didn't I?" The dragon's eyes narrowed.
"Now I remember you. Your little eye sparkle. You thought yourself so clever. Ha! Last time I saw you, you're under a pile of rubble. How is it you survived?"
I shrugged. "It was a weak hit. Maybe don't forget leg day when you're working out." The dragon hissed.
"Shall we find how weak the hits can be?"
"You think you can handle me?" I said. "Fine, come at me, bro." And once I pulled off that magnificent line, I reached up and punched the dragon in the eye.
"Ow!"
it cried as it pulled its head back.
"What the fuck did you do that for?"
"Ha!" I crowed as I pushed myself to my feet. "Take that, motherfucker!"
"You punched me in the eye!"
It shook its head, blinking rapidly. "Consider it!" I paused dramatically. "An eye for an eye." I winced. "Okay, that sounded a lot cooler in my head."
"I don't think that would have sounded cool to anyone."
It shook its head, apparently trying to clear its vision. "Hey!"
"Seriously, though,"
it said.
"Of all the places to punch, your first thought is to punch an eye. Who does that?"
"You are going to eat me!" The dragon snorted, and a little lick of flame curled out its nose.
"I was not. Though, I'm giving very serious consideration to doing so now.
You can't threaten someone with imminent death and not expect some kind of reaction, I retorted.
It's called posturing,
the dragon said.
It's what I do. You humans keep showing up in my valley, tying yourselves up for no apparent reason. I come down here, roar a little bit, then break the chains and let them leave. They always run. But no, you have to use your little tiny human hands and punch me in the eye.
I don't have tiny hands, I said, trying to save face. I'll have you know, I've got big hands. Everyone says so. No one said that, but he didn't need to know. And then it leered at me.
You know what they say about big hands? You big little wizard.
Oh my goodness, I whispered. It curled up one of its massive paws into a fist and brought it down next to me. It was almost as tall as I was. So big, I breathed.
You know what they say,
it said.
About big hands.
Dude, I said. What? Then, oh man, are you talking about your dick?
You seem flustered, wizard,
the dragon said, leaning close and breathing me in.
You getting turned on?
I really, really wasn't. You said you wanted to fuck me after you wined and dined me.
Is that what you want, pretty?
The dragon asked.
I'm a dragon, and maybe if you're lucky, I'll be dragging my balls across your face later.
So that happened. That might have been too much.
Or was it not enough?
No, definitely too much. I started to back away slowly, but for every step I took, the dragon took an answering step, and I was always stuck in his shadow.
Are you adventurous, pretty?
The dragon asked.
And I mean, sexually.
No, I said honestly. I think I might like rimming, but I've never done it. And also, I don't know if you're sexually adventurous. I think you meant to say sexually aggressive. There's a difference.
Is that right? I wouldn't know.
Ugh, that was kind of rapey. The dragon's eyes narrowed.
I've never raped anything in my life,
he said, sounding offended.
Everyone wants a piece of this.
Because of the size of your hand? And then, just because my day apparently could use a bit more weird, the dragon actually smiled. It looked like he had thousands of teeth.
It's a big hand,
he agreed, taking another step. You took something from the king, I said.
Did I?
The dragon growled.
And what might that be?
You know.
Say it.
The prince.
Ah!
The dragon said.
I'm sorry, but your prince is in another castle.
What? I was confused. What other castle? It sighed.
You young people today, never respecting the classics.
Is he alive? I asked, refusing to let the dragon distract me any further.
Maybe I ate him,
the dragon said. That stopped me. You wouldn't.
How do you know? Expert on dragons, are you?
Hey, I can talk to you, can't I? How many other people can do that?
True,
it said.
But I haven't yet decided if that's a revelation or an annoyance. It could go either way.
It snapped its jaws at me again. I would have rolled my eyes, but I was too busy taking a step back in absolute terror. I was pretty sure it was justified. Big teeth are scary teeth. You said you let other people go who are tied up here, I said.
Right, Will. Grrr. Roar. I'm a ferocious beast and all that. And speaking of, why are people always tied up here?
Seriously? It cocked its head at me and waited. Oh man, I said. You're going to be insufferable when you find out.
Find out what?
So you know that village outside the valley?
Yes. I chase their sheep sometimes.
To eat them? The dragon grimaced.
No, not eat them. I just like the little noises they make when they run screaming from me. You sound just like them.
I do not sound like frightened sheep. He jerked his head at me, and I might have shrieked. Slightly.
Ah!
The dragon chuckled.
Pretty little sheep wizard.
You're a dick, I muttered.
This has been said before. The village.
I groaned. They might have built a cult and made you their central deity, and the people tied up out here are sacrifices made to you because they think you're a god or something. No big deal. One time someone bought me a sandwich because I'm an apprentice to the king's wizard. Same thing. I didn't know much about dragons, but I will say that I never gave much thought to a dragon being able to look smug. But now I did, because the fucker preened.
Is that right? A god, you say? Sacrifices, you say? Well, now, this certainly changes many, many things.
We need to go back, I said. The people there are awful, and they eat too many corn-based foods. We have to stop them. They have my friends, and...
Nope,
the dragon said.
Not yet. There's something you have to do for me. As a god, I command you.
Go fuck yourself?
Maybe later, pretty. I'd like to see what that mouth of yours can do, even if you are a wizard.
You son of a... And before I could move, before I could even formulate a plan to defend myself against a creature that towered above me and blocked out the sun, I was in its claws, and those great wings rose up and down. The wind roared around me. And then we were up, 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 and I screamed, "You fucking asshole!" The dragon just grunted. The ground fell away below me, and I had learned rather quickly that my body was not okay with heights and flying, and that I had an extraordinary fear of falling from high places, and so I might or might not have upchucked copious amounts of corn as we passed through a cloud.
That's disgusting,
the dragon said, turning its head to look back at me. I wanted to irrationally point out that I would rather pay attention to where it was flying to and not stare at me.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't vomit on me anymore. I just took a bath.
I'd appreciate it if you'd let me go, I shouted back at it.
Are you sure about that?
I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Okay,
the dragon said with a shrug. And then he opened his claws and dropped me. I decided right then and there that the dragon and I would never be friends. The wind roared around my ears as I plummeted toward the earth. I told myself that I was a wizard, for fuck's sake, and that I could very easily think of a way out of this, but instead of actually thinking of a way out of this, I screamed. Quite loudly. They say that moments before your death, life flashes before your eyes. That's pretty much bullshit. Because in those moments before your death, all you can focus on is your impending death. I thought about how much it was going to hurt. I thought about what it would look like when someone stumbled upon me. Would I be recognizable as a human being? Or would I just look like a big puddle of meat and blood and bone? My mom and dad would be sad, and Morgan would be too. Randall would probably be relieved that I couldn't turn his nose into a cock anymore. Gary and Tiggy would mourn me for life because of the best friend coat and would most likely never recover because I was that awesome. And Ryan? Well, at least Ryan wouldn't want to bone me anymore. Sucks that. I really wanted to find out what that felt like. Ryan. And boning. I opened my eyes to accept my immediate future like a man and saw the dragon falling in front of me. Eyes amused as it watched me. Its wings were curled around its body, free-falling in tandem with me.
Having fun?
It shouted at me.
No, I'm not having fun!
I bellowed.
Oh, that's too bad. I couldn't tell from all the screaming.
You fucker! Save me!
Ask me nicely.
It said, somehow able to look bored. I almost said I would rather die, but that would have been a lie, and the ground was getting really fucking close. So I put on my big boy pants and roared,
Please, you fucking dickbag toast whore!
I don't even know what that meant,
it said. But then its wings snapped open, and those claws shot out and wrapped around my middle. The wings caught an updraft, and the descent was slowed immediately. So much so that my back cracked from the force of it. The dragon pumped its wings, and we rose back up toward the sky. I'll be honest, I told it, tiredly. I believe I've shit myself.
Gross,
the dragon said.
Learn to live a little, drama queen.
You drop me again, and I'll turn you inside out.
Ooh, so scary. Will you do that with your tiny human arms?
I work out. It waited. Well, okay, not work out per se. I think about it. Sometimes. My arms aren't tiny.
Too right.
It said.
You're going to do me a favor.
Yeah, about that. No. I was still trying to figure out if I'd actually shit myself. I hoped not. There'd be more corn.
Uh-oh.
It said.
My grasp is slipping.
And his grip around me loosened. I screamed bloody murder and held on to one of his claws.
Gods.
It said.
You're loud for having tiny arms.
That doesn't even... You... Are all dragons as fucking annoying? The dragon stiffened. Then...
I wouldn't know. Never really met another one.
And I really didn't know what to say to that, so I said nothing at all. I closed my eyes and prayed that the flight would soon be over. And that I hadn't actually shit myself. Chapter 21. So, this is awkward. It didn't take long before we started to descend again near the base of the northern mountains. The dragon had kept silent through the remainder of the flight. I thought about drilling it with as many questions I could think of, because when was I ever going to get the chance to talk to a dragon again? But I instead spent the majority of the time trying to keep my gorge from rising again. So it was with immense relief when the ground came into view again, and when I saw a stone structure rising out of the middle of another valley. I knew we'd reached the keep that Dimitri had first spoken of weeks ago. Jesus, I said. Dimitri was right.
Who?
The dragon asked. Fairy King, I said. Try to get me to marry him. Don't ask. It was this whole thing that spiraled out of control. Like the time I was kidnapped by a dragon.
I didn't kidnap you.
You took me against my will. That's like the definition of kidnapping, dude.
Dude.
The dragon scoffed.
Dude. I'll never understand why the king of the fairies would want to marry you, dude. Unless you suck cock as good as your lips indicate you should.
Ugh. I groaned. You are the absolute worst. For once, I'd like to meet a celibate person and or magical creature so I don't have to fear for my virginity. This is getting ridiculous.
A virgin?
It asked, leering at me as we circled the keep.
Well, now, that certainly is unexpected. I suddenly feel the urge to despoil you completely. You know what they say. Once you go dragon, all the rest is lagging.
No one says that, I said. Absolutely no one.
6 people say it,
he insisted.
I made sure of it.
That's... Isn't that bestiality?
We're all just animals,
he said.
Wild, sexual, writhing animals.
Yeah, no.
You say that now. Just you wait.
Gross. He landed in front of the keep. The keep itself was a large stone tower that rose from the center of the valley. It looked ancient, and there was evidence of a larger structure that had once stood around it. Large chunks of stone lay strewn around the tower as if the building had been blown apart or collapsed. I couldn't tell what its purpose had been, be it church or a small castle, but I didn't think it mattered. The keep itself was large, and the entrance at the base was tall enough to accommodate the dragon. It pushed against the massive doors with its nose, and they creaked open, scraping against the stone floor, grating against my ears. I gave maybe a second of thought to run screaming in the opposite direction with my hands flailing above my head, but I was able to curb that back and follow the dragon into the keep. It had been a church. I was sure of it now. Long gone were any pews or religious icons hanging from the walls, but the raised dais at the end and the size of the bottom floor suggested a congregation had once gathered here. Now, though, it was a dragon's nest, and where it hoarded its treasure. There was gold, of course. Massive amounts of gold, and bricks, and coins, and nuggets. Shining jewels, and goblets, and scepters. That was expected. What was not expected was the books. Castle Lox had a library that rivaled any and all of Aranya. Scholars from all over the world came to the castle, and could spend weeks getting lost in the stacks, finding scrolls and texts that hadn't been touched in centuries. This was bigger. Against a far wall, stacked from floor to vaulted ceiling that I couldn't even make out in the shadows, were books. More than I'd ever seen in my entire life. From what I could see, most were in good condition, though some looked to be in tatters or were burned. I thought dragons only hoarded beautiful things, I said. Objects that shine and glisten. The dragon followed my gaze to his book collection before he looked back at me. He cocked his head, and for a moment, I wondered if I'd somehow committed a faux pas, that it was insulting to discuss a dragon's possessions with said dragon. But then it said,
"There is beauty in the written word."
And I couldn't really think of anything to say after that. And it wasn't until Grand Prince Justin of Aranya came stomping down the stairs in the rear that I was able to find my voice again. "Dragon," he snapped, and I jerked at the sound of his voice. "Why do I hear voices? Who have you brought with you? I thought we were going to finish reading the..." And his eyes widened when he saw me. He looked good. His hair was a bit longer, which of course made it curlier and more devastating. When my hair got too long, I looked homeless. And he was maybe a bit leaner, but he appeared to be in good health. He wore a simple tunic and trousers. He was barefoot, and for some reason, I found that oddly disarming. The whole thing felt surreal. Normally he was poised and pinched, and here he looked like anyone else. "Sam," he said, voice slightly choked. And this was the Prince of Aranya. My prince. But for some reason, instead of addressing him as such, all I could think about was how his fiancée wanted to do me, so I said, "Hey, buddy. You doing good? You look good. For being kidnapped by a dragon, like I just was. But I'm here to rescue you, I think. I really don't know. I might be confused as to why I'm here." Justin stared at me.
"You're very strange, pretty,"
the dragon told me. Justin's eyes bulged as he looked up at the dragon. "You can talk again?" he demanded. The dragon said,
"You can understand me now."
And I said, "So, this is awkward." "Why haven't you been talking this whole time?" Justin shouted.
"I have been,"
the dragon snapped.
"You just couldn't understand me."
"I understand you just fine now. What did you do differently?"
"I didn't do anything. I brought the wizard here to translate."
"Oh, isn't that just perfect? I've been sitting here for weeks with you just growling at me, when we could actually have been having conversations the entire time."
"I wasn't growling,"
the dragon growled.
"I was actually talking to you. But you don't speak dragon, so you didn't understand me."
"Wait," Justin said. "Are we speaking dragon or Varanian?"
"I have no idea,"
the dragon said. They turned to look at me, so I said, "Hey, buddy. You look alive. That's just super." All the while thinking guiltily of how Ryan's breath felt on my cheek. I was an awful person, and where the hell did I get off thinking about someone else's man? And maybe, just maybe, Justin had turned over a new leaf while being held captive by the dragon. Maybe he'd found in himself his heart,